From SGI USA, I'm Cassidy Bradford, and this is Buddhability, the weekly series where I talk with Buddhists from all walks of life about the power we each have to change our lives and the world around us. This week, we asked you what is most important for you to live a healthy life. Your responses covered mental and physical health. Some of you said connection with other people and feeling a sense of purpose. Lots of you said self-love and compassion. We heard a lot about physical activity, whether that means hitting the gym or taking a walk in nature. Many of you care about the food you eat and getting enough sleep. When I read these responses, I found myself thinking about developing healthy habits for myself. It's always been tough for me to maintain a routine to take care of my mental and physical health. When I get overwhelmed by all the research I'm reading about how to live a healthy life and not really knowing where to start, I remind myself that I can first just chant Nam-myoho Renge Kyo. Why? Well, we might know the research on the best foods to eat, ways to exercise, or mindfulness practices to support our health. But the problem for many of us might be figuring out how to start and then how to continue on that path. Buddhism teaches us that it ultimately comes down to our inner life. Buddhist philosopher Daisaku Ikeda says, "Our health, courage, wisdom, joy, desire to improve, self-discipline, and so on could all be said to depend on our life force. Chanting Nam-myoho Renge Kyo enables us to bring forth limitless life force. Those who base themselves on chanting Nam-myoho Renge Kyo are therefore never deadlocked. The important thing is to continue chanting every day, no matter what happens. Nam-myoho Renge Kyo is the fundamental power of the universe. Please chant morning and evening with a vibrant and energetic rhythm of majestic horses galloping through the heavens." As many guests on the show say, when they first try chanting, they feel the condition of their inner life start to elevate. And Hannah's experience is just like that.
I definitely went in a little bit skeptical, but they just say try out the practice, so I tried it out, and the first couple weeks that I was chanting, I didn't really know what I was supposed to be seeing in my life, but once I talked to people more, I started to realize that, yeah, I did see some transformations. I started to feel really present every single day. I was chanting and it was able to kind of bring energy and life into everything that I was doing. And so before I necessarily saw a tangible goal, I saw a shift in just myself. And I even remember one of my friends came over and she just kind of walked in and said, "What have you been doing? Because you seem really calm." And so, yeah, other people were noticing it too, you know?
So you might wonder how chanting Nam-myoho Renge Kyo does this. Daisaku Ikeda explains, "Nichiren Buddhism is a teaching that enables us to elevate our inner state of life, realizing genuinely happy lives for ourselves as well as prosperity for society. It is the great teaching of the actual 3,000 realms in a single moment of life, making it possible for us to transform the place where we dwell into the land of eternally tranquil light." If you're newer here, you might be wondering what I just said, so I'm going to break down a key Buddhist concept here. 3,000 realms in a single moment of life. At its core, this concept illustrates how much possibility exists in each instant of life. On Buddhability, we often talk about the limitless potential in our lives, the limitless courage, compassion, and wisdom that already exist in our lives that we can tap into in an instant through chanting Nam-myoho Renge Kyo. 3,000 realms in a single moment of life is an explanation of how that limitless potential is manifested instantly in our lives. There are three components to this concept. And before I totally dive in here, this concept is profound and complex. So it's difficult to fully cover everything here, but this is a good starting point. The first is the principle of the 10 worlds, which describes the various states of inner life. We can think about these as the ways we experience our life. Some of these lower life states include hell, a state of misery and suffering, and hunger, a state of relentless craving. The higher life states are characterized by partial enlightenment, while the highest life state is Buddhahood. These life states aren't static. We can vacillate between them at any time. The Lotus Sutra, practiced by SGI Nichiren Buddhists, is distinct from other Buddhist teachings because it expounds that each of the 10 worlds encompasses all of the other worlds. What this means is each world possesses the other 9. Although we might be in the world of hell, for example, the other 9 worlds are present, even if they're dormant at the time. Because these worlds all encompass each other, it's also possible for us to change our life state. Everyone has the potential to manifest Buddhahood at any moment. Attaining the life state of Buddhahood doesn't mean eliminating the other 9 worlds, though. It means that under the influence of Buddhahood, the positive aspects of each world can manifest and contribute to our happiness. One common example is the world of anger or asuras. In the world of anger, we might suffer and hurt others with our anger. But when enlightened by the world of Buddhahood, we experience anger as a fire for justice. So to recap, the 10 worlds are various life states we can be in, and they can manifest at any moment, which also means we can bring the life state of Buddhahood out of our lives in an instant. The next component, paired with the 10 worlds and their mutual possession, is the 10 factors of life. While the 10 worlds describe our inner life, the 10 factors describe how those life states are expressed in our life and environment. When we're in the world of hell, it's probably expressed on our face, and it's the lens that we see ourselves and the world through. When Christopher Robin attended a Buddhist meeting in his community, he noticed the world of Buddhahood in the people there through their warmth and bright smiles.
I think the most palpable thing for me was just showing up and seeing the life condition. I didn't know how to put words to what I was feeling when I was saying hello to all of these people, because I was struck by something. And in Buddhism, we call it, you know, their life condition. And really, like, their life condition was just so, it was glowing. And I remember, I mean, it had been about 6 years since I had attempted suicide that I attended this meeting. And I was still struggling, you know, I was still struggling with depression, anxiety. And as soon as I saw these people, I remember thinking, you know, I'm a good actor, but these people either have to be the greatest actors I've ever seen in my life, or they're actually happy. And I was like, there's no way all of these people are the greatest actors in the world. Like, no, they're actually happy. And I just remember being struck by that, because I was really good at pretending to be happy. But internally, I knew that wasn't true. And I remember even thinking at that time when I left that meeting, wow, if I could become someone like that, that would make me really happy. What a cool thing to become.
The last component, the 3 realms of existence, represent 3 different standpoints of life: the individual, society, and the environment of our daily lives. They're present in our actual world and describe everything we deal with: ourselves, our relationship with others, and with our environment. Just like in Christopher Robin's case, he noticed how these people were engaging with each other in these 3 realms of existence. So these components together, the 10 worlds, the 10 factors, and the 3 realms of existence, describe all aspects of life and their function. And to indicate their relationships to each other, we come to the number 3,000. So the principle 3,000 realms in a single moment of life teaches that a single moment in our life at any given moment includes 3,000 realms, and life at each moment permeates and pervades them. This means each moment of life contains limitless potential. This might feel pretty heady though, right? This is why I love to study writings from Daisaku Ikeda. He describes profound Buddhist concepts grounded in the Lotus Sutra and the writings of 13th century Buddhist reformer Nichiren Daishonin with really accessible language based on daily life. Discussing this concept, he writes, "The principle of 3,000 realms in a single moment of life holds that each life moment is endowed with 3,000 different functions, which influence not only our lives, but those of all around us. They influence society, our natural environment, and the earth. They encompass the entire universe. Therefore, once you have decided to do something, the 3,000 functions and your entire being start working to help you reach your goal. The entire universe also starts moving toward the fulfillment of your goal. If you pray, "This is how I want to be," and continue to work toward your dream, you will gradually realize the future you have envisaged. In essence, Nam-myoho Renge-kyo is the name of our Buddhahood. Chanting it activates the life state of Buddhahood so it manifests in all aspects of our lives. And this can happen instantly. We don't need to spend lifetime after lifetime getting there. So when folks who practice SGI Nichiren Buddhism talk about the life condition or life force of themselves and of others, what they're really describing is the various states of life at work. And when speaking about feeling a more expanded or happy life state from chanting, they're describing the life state of Buddhahood shining in their lives and the lives of others. For today's episode, we've left some references in the show notes, so please feel free to dig in, study more, so that you can have a stronger understanding of this concept. And although we've broken it down today, it's really just theory unless you try it. So if you haven't yet, why not try chanting Nam-myoho Renge-kyo and just see how it feels? If you'd like to learn more and get connected with a Buddhist community near you, you can email us at connect@buddhability.org. And for next week's episode, we want to know one thing you fear. Until next time, thanks for listening.